Take your Bible, turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 1. I'm going to start tonight on this topic. I'm not sure if I'll finish it or pick it up again at another time, but I'm going to help you tonight. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, do me a favor. We're going to skip around a little bit, so keep your fingers ready and lubed up or wetted up or something. Just don't stick them in somebody's ear that you're not related to. Boys and girls, don't stick them in your nose and then on your pages because then they get sticky. All right. So, all right. Ecclesiastes chapter 1. That's after the book of Psalms, literally. So, Psalms, Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Let's start in verse number 1. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit hath a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun? Skip down to verse 13. And I gave my heart to seek and to search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under the heaven. This sore travail hath God given to the Son of Man to be exercised therewith. I've seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. That which is crooked cannot be made straight, and that which is wanting cannot be numbered. Chapter 2, look at verse number 14. Chapter 2, verse number 14. I'm going to read the rest of the chapter, so follow with me. The wise man's eyes are in his head. That would be a good place for them to stay too, just so you know. But the fool walketh in darkness, and I myself perceived also that one event happeneth to them all. Then said I in my heart, as it happeneth to the fool, so it happeneth even to me. And why was I then more wise? Then I said in my heart that this also is vanity. For there's no remembrance of the wise more than of the fool forever, seeing that which now is in the days to come shall all be forgotten. And how dieth the wise man? As the fool. Therefore I hated life, because the work that is wrought under the sun is grievous unto me, for all is vanity and vexation of spirit. Yea, I hated all my labor which I had taken under the sun, because I should leave it unto the man that shall be after me. And who knoweth whether he shall be a wise man or a fool? Yet shall he have rule over all my labor wherein I have labored, and wherein I have showed myself wise under the sun. This also is vanity. Therefore I went about to cause my heart to despair of all labor which I took under the sun. For there is a man whose labor is in wisdom, and in knowledge, and in equity. Yet to a man that hath not labored therein shall he leave it for his portion? This also is vanity and a great evil. For what hath a man of all his labor? Of the vexation of his heart, wherein he hath labored under the sun? For all his days are sorrows, and his travail grief. Yea, his heart taketh not rest in the night. This also is vanity. There is nothing better for a man than that he should eat and drink, and that he should make his soul enjoy the good of his labor. This also I saw, that it was from the hand of God. Who can eat, or who else can hasten hereunto more than I? For God giveth to a man that is good in his sight wisdom and knowledge and joy. But to the sinner he giveth travail to gather and to heap up, that he may give to him that is good before God. This also is vanity and vexation of spirit. I want you to notice how many times you saw the word vanity. All is vanity. Now, look at me. I want to help you. One thing to remember most as you read the Bible is this. Realize God wrote it. If you're not careful, as you read Ecclesiastes, you're going to say, well, Solomon is saying here. No, God is saying here. God is telling Solomon what to say. These are not Solomon's words, but Solomon had the life to back up what God wanted said. See, God gave every word. God didn't put the thoughts into Solomon's brain because Solomon was a sinner just like you and me. We'd screw it up. We'd mess it up. And it wouldn't be the word of God. It would be the word of Solomon then. Now, Solomon was not a bad man, but he was a sinner. He became king as a young man. God came to Solomon and said, Solomon, I'll give you anything that you want. And as a young man, Brother Jim, he said, God, all I want is wisdom to lead your people your way. Amen. God said, I'm impressed. Solomon, you didn't ask me for wealth. You didn't ask me for fame. You asked me for wisdom. And because of that, I'll give you wealth, I'll give you knowledge, and I'll give you fame on top of the wisdom. Now, you have to understand something. God gave Solomon riches and fame beyond what any human has ever seen before or since. Solomon ends his life with a net worth of about $2.5 trillion in today's standard. You can look it up. Many different resources, it'll say between $2 and $2.5 trillion. Some go as high as $3, but the common number there is about 2.5 trillion with a T. Everybody complained about Henry Ford being worth 200 billion. That's 15 times more wealth than Henry Ford. Think through that for a second. That's a lot. Solomon was a man that did have it all. He had money, he had fame, he had power, he had knowledge, he could buy anything and did. But God gave him exceptional knowledge in all topics. Now listen to me. You would think somebody that had that much, when they get to the end of life, would say, boy, I've had it good. In spite of all the wealth, all the knowledge, all the fame, all the power, God uses Solomon to say over and over, all is vanity. It's just vain. Solomon has the money to do anything. Anything he ever could want. How could a man with so much say, all is vanity? As you face the end of life here on earth, all you've done, all you have built, all you've accumulated, honestly, means nothing. You're not going to take it with you. You begin to realize what you take beyond the grave isn't what you did on this side. You also realize it will not mean the same to others as it did to you when you leave it behind. That thing that you think is most precious, somebody might throw in a dumpster. But that was important to me. Key word there was me, not anybody else. Ladies, that favorite pair of slippers that you like, nobody else is going to put their feet in it. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You see, why? Because all is vanity. All of it. God shows Solomon that death, listen to this statement, death is the great equalizer. Look at chapter 2, verse number 14 again. The wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walketh in darkness, and I myself perceived also that one event happeneth to them all. In other words, to the wise man and to the fool, there's one event that is common. Then I said in my heart, as it happeneth to the fool, so it happeneth even to me. And why was I more wise? Then I said in my heart that this also is vanity. For there's no remembrance of the wise more than of the fool forever. Seeing that which now is in the days to come shall be forgotten. And how dieth the wise man? As a fool. I was driving home this afternoon, and the flashing lights of a funeral procession were on the other side of Charlestown Road from me. I pulled off the side, and about six cars passed, and it was over. I've seen, when my mama went to heaven, there were still people pulling out of the parking lot, and there was people at her gravesite already. But guess what? They're both dead. I don't know who the person was. I preached a funeral years ago, Brother Bob Kellerman. Not his. But Brother Bob met a veteran one day. He was laying on the side of the road beaten up. And Bob jumped out and said, "Buddy, are you okay?" He said, "No, that guy running down the street just robbed me." Bob said, "I'll be back." Went down, took a lead pipe out and beat the guy and got his wallet back and came back and helped the guy. Say, he shouldn't have done that. Yes, he should have. I love Brother Bob. Now, wait a minute. Brother Bob loved that man. Brother Bob took care of that man. I got a phone call one day. He said, "Preacher." He said, "My veteran buddy died." He said, "He's got nobody." He said, "Would you do his funeral?" I said, "I will." He said, "There ain't going to be nobody there but me and Sandy probably." I said, "It's okay." I said, "Which funeral?" He told me. I got a hold of the funeral home. I said, "I want you calling every employee you can in." I said, "I want you calling the honor guard. This is a veteran. He's got a DD-214. You better have an honor guard there. I'm going to come unscrewed." They said, "Pastor, we'll take care of it." Bob paid for the man to be buried. I went there. It was Bob and Sandy and the funeral home workers and a couple military people. You know, I put as much time into that man's funeral as I did my mama's. When we got done, man, it was exciting. They got done folding the flag and they gave it to Bobby. Tears running down his face. Can I tell you something? That man didn't have anything, but he had a whole lot. Doesn't matter if you're the President of the United States or a poor veteran that nobody knows. How dieth the wise man or the rich man? Just like the fool. Death is the great equalizer. Let's look into this topic of vanity for a while. First of all, what is vanity or being vain? The word vanity means worthless, unsatisfying, transitory or temporary, devoid of cost or reason. Worthless. The word vain means empty, void, worthless. In other words, what we put value on when we're facing death, it's worthless. You could have millions of dollars saved up in the bank, but when you die, it's worthless. Because it's not going with you. Vanity is like, pardon me for using this, but it was the best illustration I had. Vanity is like putting makeup on a dead body. You're just hiding it for a short time. And that's what they do. They cover the death up, but it's vanity. They used to have, we have renamed things. Back in the late 1800s, early 1900s, they came out with what they called a vanity bench. It was a mirror where a lady would sit down in her room or bathroom and do her hair and her makeup. And they called it a vanity. Say why? Because it was vain to go out, get all purtied up like that, go out and work on the farm. Some of you old timers know what I'm talking about. vanity or vainness is an appearance, but it's only covering for a short time. It's only covering up the reality. Okay. I'm good. I've got three illustrations I'm going to use here. There are people, whoops, worked better when you turned it on. There are people that refuse to wear these because they, well, if I wear glasses, I'm going to be old. You're old whether you wear glasses or not. Plain and simple. You can either be wise or you can be a fool. Well, I'm not going to get glasses, I'm going to get contacts. Okay, that's fine. That's vanity. Well, I don't want to wear them. That's fine too. Stumble around and miss what everybody else sees in life. It's okay. I choose to be able to see. You say, doesn't it bother a preacher? No, I've been wearing them for so long, I don't care. And most everybody that wears contacts has to have glasses anyway, so why pay for both? I figured just pay for one and be done. Or you can spend a whole lot of money and have the surgery done and say, well, look at me, I'm 50-some years old and I don't need glasses. Yeah, but how many thousands of dollars did you spend on surgery? We won't talk about that. Yeah, and you still will eventually. We get so vain about how we look. Plastic surgery. Vanity. Now, if the old barn needs paint and a coat of paint's okay, but you know, you don't have to stand there and, you know, have Michelangelo come in and sculpt you every day. I don't know how else to say it. Did I do all right on that one, Brother Scott? Just don't back up and hit it again, right? The amount of money spent on plastic surgery by people in our world today is astronomical. Good night. Folks, there's only so long they can keep pulling those wrinkles, and then your nose is going to be where your top of your head is. Let's face it. It's going to happen. Gravity's going to take hold. Amen? Well, we'll wear designer clothes so I don't look poor. I hate to tell you something. Nobody's going to read the label anyway. And why pay four times as much for the same thing? Yeah, I can do better than that. Secondhand store. I can get, somebody recently said, oh, Penny's got suits on sale, $130. And for a new suit, that's not bad. Really isn't. But I thought, I could go buy six suits at the Goodwill for what I get one. Do the math. Go the other way. Well, this one will last you longer. Hey, if I wear it out in a year or two, I throw it away and go get two more. I can go get six for your one. And I don't feel bad about it. Almost every suit I own, I have gotten there. You say, preacher, yeah, why not? This is my work clothes. I wear suits hard. I go through them faster than most people. I can't afford $200, $300, $400, $500 suits. I saw a guy one time, he had a $5,000 suit on. He said, what do you think? I said, you don't want to know. He said, no, really, what do you think? I said, you're stupid. I said, good night. I could feed my family for a year with that. You spend it on one set of clothes just so you can say you look good? Dude, from the chin down, you don't look any different than anybody else, and from the chin up, it's worse. We think we've got to have the most expensive label out there. Listen to this statement. This may be the key statement of the entire night. I shared this with some preachers recently. Life is like love. It is an action. It is not an accumulation. Life is like love. It is an action, not an accumulation. When we die, only what we gave will live on, not the accumulation. Vanity is living to accumulate all you can. Living is trying to give all you can. Dr. Anderson, I knew Dr. Russell Anderson for decades. That man gave over $40 million to the cause of Christ in his life. That's how much he gave away. There are tens and tens and probably hundreds of millions of people going to be in heaven because of Dr. Russell Anderson and his giving. Last several times he was with us, he'd look at me. I heard him say it publicly from behind this piece of wood right here. He said, I got it planned out with God so that when I die, I give away the last of my money. He said, I want to die broke. I want to give it all away to God. And he did. Gave it all away. Say why? Because he didn't want to die like a fool. He died as a wise man. But can I tell you something? I wonder how many people have even thought of Russell Anderson since. You see, life is like love. It is an action. You have to live it. It's not an accumulation. Love isn't what you get. Love is what you give. Life is not what you get out of it. Life is what you put out of you. My life is lived trying to help other people. I love it. I mean that. I love it. Number two. Everybody doing okay? Smile. Jesus loves you and so do I. I'm going to use God's words here. Look at verse number three. What profit hath a man of all his labor, which he taketh under the sun? Everybody look at me. There is more to life than making profit on something. There is far more to life than profit. Brother Jim, you're what, 163? I mean, 93? 93?
More.
More or less? Is it more or less? Now, wait a minute. Brother Jim's in his 90s. Can I tell you something? All the profit you made on all those cars means less and less these days, doesn't it? Can I tell you why? His life and his relationships are more important to him than those things are. I've heard him say many times, oh, it's just money. But he doesn't talk about people that way. Oh, it's just people. Oh, no. No. He's gotten to the point where he understands that there's more to life than profit. The day you grow up and realize there's more to life than money and profit, is the day God can start blessing you. Amen. There's more than to life than the accumulation of money. There's more to life than the accumulation of things. I'm going to say it. There's more to life than the accumulation of knowledge. There's more than to life than the accumulation of wisdom. There's more to life than the accumulation of labor. Profit in life is only available when invested in others, not accumulated for self. Do you know how you truly get profit with life? You invest your life in them. You don't accumulate what you got. Profit comes by spending, not by getting. You have to spend money to make money. You have to spend a lot of money to make a lot of money. Now listen to me very carefully. Go to verse 18, chapter 2. Yea, I hated all my labor which I had taken under the sun, because I should leave it unto the men that shall be after me. And who knoweth whether he shall be a wise man or a fool? Yet he shall have rule over all my labor wherein I've labored, wherein I've showed myself wise under the sun. This also is vanity. Can I tell you something? I plan on pastoring this church a lot longer. I've got quite a few years left in the tank, I believe. But the day I close that book and I keel over dead, I will have done all I can to make sure this church can keep going as it's going right now. But at that point, it's up to you and the person that follows me, not me. I've set it up. I've guided it. I've done what I can to keep it going that direction. I'll continue that. And I'll make sure that we're only hiring people that are going that direction so that it can continue that direction. Now, listen to this statement. God is love, correct? God is love. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the what? So God is life also. God breathed into man the breath of life. God gives both love and life. He does not accumulate them, he gives them. So who are we to think we have arrived by an accumulation of things? I can take you out to the farm and show you a big pile of accumulation. You won't like it. They put it back in the back end of a honey wagon and fling it all over the fields, and it smells real good about fall time. It's called cover scent, amen? Walk right through the middle of that. There ain't no deer in the world going to smell you. Now, wait a minute. Just because it's accumulated doesn't mean it's worth anything. Who were we? Sorry, but it's true. Who were we to think that the accumulation of all that we have is really worth something? Because when we die, it doesn't live on. Only your life that you invested in others lives on. Now listen to me. Man, as a sinner, wants to be his own God. And he wants to use his accumulation as the evidence of his status. Death is the great equalizer that stops all accumulation. You know, you don't impress God with how much you know. I don't care how many degrees you have, you don't impress God. We don't impress God with all of our things. If God came down to your house today, you're going to take him through and show him all the stuff you have? I don't think he'd ride on that thing. He's got better sense. Now, wait a minute. Can I tell you something? It's not the things that God's interested in. He's interested in our life. What are we living? Not what do we have, what are we living? We don't impress God with our fame. Did you ever try to think who the most famous person would be? Or no, God. Fame is overrated, let me tell you. High positions are overrated. Let me tell you. Being well known is not always something you like. When I'm with my family, it's a good time when we can go somewhere and somebody doesn't say, "Don't I know you?" My face has been plastered all over three counties. I can't go anywhere. My brother and I were moving Dad's stuff into where he's at now, and there was two guys unloading a big trailer load of stuff. I thought, boy, I'm glad we don't have all that to move. And the guy looked at me, and I looked at him. I thought, man, I've seen that guy. I told my brother, we got back down, I said, I've seen that guy somewhere. And I promise you, not 20 seconds later, the guy came over. He said, "Who are you? I know I've seen you somewhere." I told him who I was. He said, "You've knocked on my door." I said, "Probably." He said, "One of those yellow cards?" I said, "That's me." He said, "That's where it is." He said, I knew your face. I thought, whew, at least it wasn't Duck. But can I tell you something? My brother said, "Really?" I said, "Yep." It's a little overrated. Say, "Oh, I'd like that to happen to me." It gets old real fast. Real fast. And I'm not the most famous person in the world, thank God. I don't try to be. I just try to love on people. Try to help people. Help them as I go. The profit of life is only gotten when it's given away, not when it's accumulated. Did you hear what I said? The profit of life is only gotten as it's given away, not as it's accumulated. You want profit? You have to spend it. How do I do that, preacher? You give your life. People think, well, greater love hath no man than he lay down his life for his friend. That means you got to die for your friend. No, laying down your life means you put aside what you want and give somebody else what they need. It doesn't say that you die. It says it gives your life, not your death. Number three. How do we know we're vain? Well, let's go through a list of things here. Turn to the book of Psalms. Go to the beginning of Psalms, chapter 2. Psalm 2. We're just going to go through, start chronologically. That's the only way I knew how to do it. There's no certain rhyme or reason to the order or importance. It's just I started and went forward. Psalm 2, look at verse number 1. Why do the heathen rage and why and the people imagine a vain thing? God talks about a vain imagination. You don't need to turn to it. I will. I'll read it out of the only Bible God ever wrote, the King James Bible. But Romans chapter 1, verse 21 talks about the alphabet soup crowd and the rebels. And it says in verse number 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. And their foolish heart was darkened. When your imaginations and what you think about are vain things, you're becoming a vain person. When everything's about what can I get? My accumulation. Look at Psalm 60. Psalm 60, verse number 11. Give us help from trouble, for vain is the help of man. Turn to Psalm 108. I'm going somewhere on this one. I'm going to make somebody mad if I'm successful. Psalm 108, look at verse number 12. Give us help from trouble, for vain is the help of man. That means this. Man's psychology and man's counseling and the world's view on things is vain. For a preacher to get up and say, well, I'm going to send my people to a professional. I'll send them to a psychologist so they can get the help they need. You might as well quit your job and go get an honest job. My job's about teaching people how to live according to the Bible. Why should I send them off to a man that studies another man? How about we study God, the source of all life?
That's good, preacher.
Psalm 127. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, and to eat the bread of sorrows, for he giveth his beloved sleep. Can I tell you something? I want you to know something here. Many of you are breaking your necks to pay for all your accumulation of things, and you're not getting the rest you need, and nobody can enjoy all the things you have because you're still trying to pay it off. When our appetites get bigger than what we can pay for, some of you want to live at such a high status, and you have nothing to show for it but a garage and a shed full of garbage, and you're working 80, 90 hours a week just to help pay for it, and you're going paycheck to paycheck, and you shouldn't. God said that's vain. Are we doing okay? Look at Proverbs chapter 31. Oh, this one's good. Proverbs 31. Folks, I love you. Here we go, verse number 30. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Folks, how we look, I think we ought to look the best we can, but let's not make that the most important thing in life. There are people that have a vanity about their looks. I got to tell this story. It's one of my favorite stories. I was a youth pastor in South Carolina. I was a youth pastor in couple other churches too, but especially there, we were getting ready to go on a week-long trip. This is back in the 90s. And at that time, girls carried all their makeup in, fellas. It looked like a tackle box. I think they called it a caboodle or something like that. Some stupid name. It was a tackle box. That's all it was a tackle box. I had a girl, she couldn't pass by a bathroom without that thing in her hand. And I mean going to church, during church, after church, everywhere she went, she carried that thing more than she did her Bible. She was going on the trip. Me and the boys were in charge of loading the bus. Guess what accidentally got left behind? At the first bathroom we passed, she found out. Fortunately, it was 6 hours down the road. Now, wait a minute. You say, you didn't. Yes, I did. But may I say something? It was through that she gave her heart to the Lord. Oh, she was mad at me for several days. But God got a hold of her heart. She needed it for humility's sake. Everything was about her face. Everything was about her appearance. And when you're focused on that, you're not focused on what God wants for your heart. Favor is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Again, I'm not saying just look like a bearded old hag. But I think we can get to the point where we put too much attention on how we look. Are we doing okay? All right, here we go. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Like I said, I just started and I could give you a whole bunch more. I'm just giving you some highlights right now. Matthew chapter 6, look at verse number 7. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. going to get in trouble, but I don't give a flip. God says don't use vain repetition in prayer. In other words, you don't memorize a prayer and say it over and over and over again. Right. What people call the Lord's Prayer is a vain repetition. And every time it's chanted in churches, God wants to vomit. When the disciples came to Jesus, they said, teach us to pray, not teach us a prayer. What the religious world calls the Lord's Prayer is an outline. It's not a prayer, it's an outline. And people chant it all the time. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And they go through this and, oh, I pray. No, you did vain repetition. When you start asking God for something that is selfish and he's already told you no, or he's already answered you in the Bible and you're too lazy to go look it up, it's a vain repetition. My Baptist brethren may not like me for this, but I don't give a rip. I think it's vain for us to say, oh God, would you save so and so? Having a prayer meeting for somebody to get saved. Get off your knees and go tell him about Jesus Christ. Jesus did everything necessary for the guy to get saved. God wants him saved more than you do. Quit asking God to do your work. It's vain. Get up and go tell somebody about Jesus. Everybody doing okay? So you mean I shouldn't pray for somebody to get saved? I'm not against it, but if that's all you do is pray, no, that's vain repetition. Go tell somebody. God wants them saved more than you do. He gave everything he had so they could be saved. I love you. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Look at verse number 26. Galatians chapter 5, verse number 26. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Desirous of vainglory. That means this. We shouldn't want all the attention. A position seeker. Well, I want to attain a certain position so that people know who I am. Yeah, you're vain. All you want is a title so you can say, look at me. God said, not desiring vain glory. Ephesians 5, 6, just a couple pages over. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 6. Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Can I tell you something? The world has a whole lot of vain words out there. Look at the politicians running their mouth. Look at all the stuff that they say that's vain. Abortion is, last night, Ding Dong said something, abortion saves lives. That's about as ridiculous of a statement, and I have other words I shouldn't say. It is a right to life. Okay, right to whose life? To take another? He literally used the statement as a right to life. Okay, if it's a right to life, how about the life you just took? The right ended when wrong was done for the child to be conceived. You just forfeited your right. Everybody doing okay? We don't want to hear that. Okay, James chapter 1. It's right after the book of Hebrews. James chapter 1, look at verse number 26. My favorite. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. I am sick up to here with vanity of religion. Why do you think I preach so hard against it? Brother Aaron, you and I sat in the living room with a family this last Saturday that is put out by religion. I literally blasted their religion right out of the water with the scriptures, and they bowed their head and trusted Christ with tears dripping off their faces. Can I tell you why? This is what they said. I didn't, they did. They said, we've never had anybody explain the Bible truth like that to us before. My heart broke. That's sick. And everybody that they've ever sat under that's taken them the wrong direction, hell's going to be really hot for them. So you're talking about the Pope, preacher. I don't care who it is. When you tell people wrong doctrine, make them believe it because they feel good. Joel Osteen and all the rest of that crowd, Joyce Myers and all the rest of that lamb-blasted idiot crowd of vain religion. Vanity in life is when it's all about me, how I look, or what I get out of it. If you are living, okay, the vanity of this statement, I'm going to live life to its fullest, I'm going to get out of it all I can get. That is the sum total of vanity. It's all about what you get, what you want, how you want to live. It's only seeing life for what you want. It's only seeing life by what you know. Did you know you don't know it all? Did you know I don't know it all? And don't comment on that. By the way, only experiencing life by what we have been through doesn't mean everybody else hasn't been through more or better or worse. You are not the sum total of what life is. You're the sum total of your life, not everybody else's. There's more to life than me. God gave us life to have it. John 10:10 says, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Not vainly, abundantly. That's why God gave us a body, a soul, and a spirit that gives you the abundant life. Abundant life is a spiritual life, a soul life, and a body life in line with the Word of God. God does not want us gathering like the fools and gather everything we can and say, look what I have at the end of life. Because according to what God said in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, all that is vanity. Life, like love, is in giving, not in accumulating. If all you're going to do in life is accumulate, when you get ready to die, you're going to be a very lonely, unfulfilled person. Do me a favor. If you're still here when I'm dying, come to my bedside and let's rejoice. Let's have a party. Let's sing about heaven. Don't shed tears for me. Man, I'm just fixing to go to a better place and start really living. It's not time to be sad. It'll be time to be happy. Now, I've got plenty of enemies that'll be lined up ready to rejoice too. But may I say something? Don't cry. Can I tell you why? Man, I'm fixing to go do the best part of life. And life isn't going to be about how much stuff we have. It's going to be how much did we invest. I watched a man cry last Saturday whose wife passed away Thursday. Can I tell you why he was crying? Because their two neighbors got saved sitting on the couch. And he looked at me and said, it's almost worth it all. I said, what you mean? He said, they're not going to hell anymore. Makes it tolerable. I thought, you got it, Doc. You're going to heal real well. You're going to do real well. And he is. Can I tell you why? Because it's not all about the accumulation. could be that's why he called and said, can the church use all these silk flowers? And preacher. It's in giving, not in accumulating. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. Not according to me. But I wonder how vain are we living. All is vanity. Every bit of it.